Good morning. Well, it has been a wonderful time of learning. I take very seriously the opportunities to get up and share and in some measure maybe offer a little bit of teaching. And I also approach it with a little bit of intrepidation because the things that you teach, you'd ought to best to make sure that you're not teaching out of any form of hypocrisy. So I'm going to do two things today. I'm going to talk a little bit about some church updates, but then I'm also going to get into the book of John chapter 6. So if you want to get ahead of me a little bit, go ahead and turn to John chapter 6. And before we even do that, let's just pray. God, we love you. And Lord, I just pray that you continually renew our hearts and our minds so that our intent and purpose will be to know you, so that in turn, Lord, we will understand your will, and that we can in turn, Lord, seek to obey your will, Lord. Give us the courage each day to honor you with the fullness of who we are, so that we can better understand and seek you, Lord. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Okay, so just some basic updates. There's a lot of folks are coming into the church. A lot of folks are kind of learning about church and Grace Bible Fellowship and the body that we are. Change can be a little bit painful, and sometimes change can be a lot painful. Sometimes it can be scary. You know, we heard the Browns are talking about, you know, moving, and they didn't consult us. They just told us they were moving, and nobody voted on that, so I don't know if that's official yet. You know, they can secede or not from the Bastrop region, so we'll have to, you know. But anybody who leaves this body, and I love, we've had so many different people that have been such an integral part of this body, this mesh. And I remember thinking some 20 years ago when our body was together, you know, we had a family that was the Hammocks. And some of us have been around long enough and been blessed to be influenced by them and thinking, okay, you know, I remember thinking as a youth, man, if they leave, everything's just going to fall apart. And they left, and somehow things kept going. In fact, the Hammocks left us this beautiful reminder up here on the wall about spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. And, you know, every time it always comes back, and God reminds me, you know, yes, that individual is such an important part of the body of Christ, and they are missed. But at the same token, they're needed where they're going. And I want very much for the Browns to stay, and I do hope they do stay. However, we don't know what the Lord's plan is for their lives or for the others that have gone on. We have young people that are going out. We've got several that are going off to college, and they will indeed be missed. Seth, you're going up to Lubbock. Yeah, I won't say the name of the college you're going to. I'm not going to do that. This is a place of worship. But in all seriousness, you know, your presence will be very much missed here, but God has a purpose for you of ministry up there. Where you are going to learn, you are also going to become an active part of participating in the body of Christ up there, taking what the Lord has instilled in you and giving that to others. Same for you, same for you. Where are we at here? And for you and you. I mean, we've got so many that there's going to be this huge hole in the body as we have others that are going out. And yet God is calling y'all particularly to take what has been instilled in you here and put it into practice in a whole nother way. It's interesting, particularly for you guys. You have most of you that are leaving have come into this church because your parents brought you here, because it was kind of pre-laid out how your life would be structured. But that structure is going away, and that structure will be what God leads it to be in your life and how you structure it with the Lord. And so going forward, that impact will be even greater as you seek to minister to the lives of the people around you. And then in turn, the people you choose to associate with will impact your life, because that association is purely your choice at this point. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And, you know, one of the big aspects about church is that we come together, we are called together out of obedience to come together to build one another up. to encourage one another, to learn how to worship together. But then we also recognize that we're only together for a few short hours each week, and then we go out into the world and we take what we know and we put it into practice. Our goal for this body is not that any one of us is a Sunday Christian, that we are a seven-day-a-week individuals who are taking everything that we learn here and we put it into practice. Now, I asked the youth group, my youth two that I had two up there today. And so, they come and go because for some reason they grow up and they leave us. I have no idea why. I mean, why you wouldn't want to, why you want to go to far afield and strange places like seeking to go to Korea. I have no idea why you'd want to do that. Texas is so exotic. But the reality of it is, our goal is to, as elders, you have, in case you're wondering who the elders are, it's Sid, Reg, who is, we're blessed to be able to sit and learn from him, and then also myself. And so we're the three elders, and then we have the deacons, which Steve is a deacon, and Lawrence Slotfell is a deacon, and Mr. Miedema, where'd Mr. Miedema go? Oh, where's he? He's somewhere else. Anyway, he's in the back. He's also one of the deacons. And we seek by God's grace to lead this body in a way that is godly, it is Christ-like, it builds up the body of Christ, and we feel the burden of making sure that we are carrying out this role righteously. You know, that scripture that says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it is a scary place to be, because if at any time we're not doing our job well, there's an extra measure of blessing that is given to the elders and deacons for ruling well, but the opposite is true for elders and deacons that don't rule well. So one of the things as a body, as part of the leadership, I want to call upon the body, and that is any time that you do not see a way that the elders or deacons are ruling well, it is, as part of the body, it is your job to say, hey, this part of the body hurts, ouch. Okay, and in order for the body to function well, you need to go to the elders and deacons and go, hey guys, we're sorely lacking in this area. Okay, often I think it's often very common that as a body we have a tendency to kind of stand back and stay quiet because we don't want to be someone who complains. But I mean, anytime you cut yourself, it hurts, and you immediately grab that part of your body. Okay, so just as a reminder, there's going to be things that we miss on a routine basis. Make sure and let us know if there's something that's missing, if there's something that's needed, okay? A quick update regarding the church building. We are making progress. We started the idea about possibly buying the building about a year ago. And it's great. We're excited about it. But one of the chief concerns is that, yes, we'll be acquiring the building for a purchase. This body has never been about owning a building. It has never been about owning land. It has been about building up the body of Christ and at some point disseminating believers, in this case, very naturally, raising them up and going out in the world to share the gospel. And there, this young lady over here, right here, she's going in Austin. Don't let me leave anybody out. But anyway, we don't want this to be about carpet or paint or how nice the structure is, or how tall a roof is, or how short a roof is, or how big or small the parking lot is, or how big or nice the bathrooms are, what grade of coffee we have. It doesn't matter what it is. The focus always needs to come down to one key point, and that is how we are living our lives in Christ and how we are building one another up. Not that we don't like to have all these other things and have them nice, and if it can help us better worship, we definitely want to pursue that. Regarding a missions update, and so anyway, just so you know, we did make some steps recently to move closer to the purchase, so hopefully within a few months we can get there, and Troy knows all the details. He can give you additional details on that. Regarding missions and the update on how we're doing in missionaries. So we have been proceeding. I want to thank you for the faithfulness of all the team missions team that have been coming to the missions meetings. We just recently confirmed the Hainers as full-time missionaries to Grace Bible Fellowship. The Hainers are working in the Eastern Russia area in Siberia. We also have Ron Hunt and Sandy Hunt, who are missionaries, and they work in the camping ministry. They've been working with Wilderness Ridge for many years. Sean and Krista Hammer are also missionaries. They're working up north, and they're working as missionaries in the Christian camping industry. And where it sounds like a great deal of fun on one hand, I just want to let you know, being there personally, that there are a lot of challenges that come with that particular ministry, and there's a great deal of benefits. But I'm just mentioning these guys briefly because I hope that you take a moment to kind of read over here the board and just read a little bit about them. And if you want to ever reach out or get to know them a little better, we're going to find ways to help the body connect with these people and make the ministry that they're involved in, help you guys understand, and maybe ways that you can plug in. We have plans to start progressing with helping the body connect better with them. And then we also have Paul and Lisa Van Allen over there. And where they are supported, they're not actually in the field. They have a team of people that they support that are in the field. And we don't mention a whole lot about what's going on with those individuals to the body, to the general body, because of how sensitive things are in China right now. More and more Christians are being evicted from China. Those are the lucky ones. The ones that are Chinese citizens are just simply being imprisoned. In some cases, there's been excuses for executions. So there is an awful lot going on where there was a wave where China was wide open. It is no longer that way. So be praying for all of our missionaries. The spiritual attack is intense. Be praying for your elders and deacons. I can tell you firsthand the spiritual attack on the elders and deacons and the men that have served, such as Tim and Larry and others. You realize and see how intense the spiritual attack is on church leadership and those that are working in ministry. And, Satan does every opportunity to steal the joy and create distraction. My dad recently passed away, and I work really hard at not tearing up whenever I think about him. His death has been very recent. But Dad always said that it's amazing what God will do with the desire of a parent's heart. And then he made it very clear what his desire was for me. And when that is voiced to the child, it's this understood hope and expectation of what they want that child to become. And it's amazing how you can watch that transformation occur in someone's life. Not that I'm a very young man, and there are many here that are as young as I am, or maybe just a little less young. but still, God has put me in the role as an elder. And God has put Brother Sid in the role of his elder, and Brother Reg. And we are starting to meet apart from the deacon board. And one of our goals is, how do we build up the body of Christ? How do we develop the health, the spiritual health and welfare of this body, to become effective ministers on a daily basis, growing the body of Christ, not by putting more people in the pews per se, but putting more people who are newly come to the Lord in the church. That's true growth in the body of Christ. And so our desire is that we are able to somehow instill in you and grow within all of us the ability to impact our day-to-day walk so that we can bring others to the Lord. On missions, too, just one other side note, be praying for not only for our missionaries, but as our direction as a church. You know, my hope is that our church, at some point, we will see more than half of our finances that come into this church flow out specifically for the purpose of missions. We're not there yet, but that will, go towards impacting the body of Christ. And so be praying as our church grows, as our church goes through different challenges ahead, because every time you bring about a change, it brings about a growing pain. So I just wanted to give you guys a little bit about, just kind of a little bit of an update, who the elders are, who the deacons are, who the missionaries are, what is the desire of our heart. What does that growth look like? We're still in the process of going there. And we'll try to keep you guys updated as God continues to work and help us with that direction. But I would appreciate very much your prayers for all the elders and deacons as we are trying to work through the direction and the changes that are coming about. Okay, if you are in John chapter 6, I would appreciate if you'd go with me there now. And then John chapter 6, verse 25. Now, my children have the advantage or disadvantage, however you want to slice that, of getting to go over this material, so I apologize that you'll have to go through this a second time. I'm much more boring in sitting down, though, because Daddy reads very slow sometimes, I think. All right, so real quick, I'm going to read over a couple of sections of this, and then I'm just going to hit some of the finer points, because this section of Scripture speaks so much, very much for itself, and yet there's some very key ingredients. But I'm going to jump to the end of this section real quick, because it's an important ingredient. So Jesus is talking to the people. He feeds them. They follow him. And he's going over some really difficult concepts with them. And he gets to the very end, and in verse 59, he said this while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. On hearing it, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" A little bit further, it says, aware of this, his disciples were grumbling about this. And Jesus said to them, he says, "Does this offend you?" Now, a lot of his disciples, you know, he had hundreds of men and women following him. And when he got to a hard part, it became inconvenient. It became frustrating. And once the true inconvenience of what was being taught hit, they decided to go back to their lives. And I look at this, and I look at the health of the church. Now, I'm not speaking now in particular about Grace Bible Fellowship, but in general. And you see very much that a lot of people who claim Christianity claim it as a convenience. And this is what I mean whenever I say you have to be very careful when you're in the pulpit. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, it says very carefully, "Do not judge lest you be judged. From the way you judged, it will be that same standard of measurement is going to be held to you." So it's something to be very careful of when you speak of these things. But the reality of it is we have come to a place where when it's convenient, we'll honor the Sabbath day. When it's not convenient, well, sure, I'll go out and do X. You know, I need to get this issue prepared so that it's ready for Monday. You know, the Bible says very clearly, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Okay? And so now you get a lot of people who begin to make this argument regarding the Sabbath, and they go, well, the Bible also says that one man calls this day holy, another man calls this day holy. Well, my question is, are we calling the Sabbath day holy out of convenience, and so we just kind of shift it around the calendar wherever we want? Or are we setting aside a time and genuinely taking that day and saying, this day I'm setting aside for God, and then I'm going to build my week around it so that I can set that day aside for God? We know very clearly that there is a time and a place when our ox falls into a ditch and we've got to get it out, and there's nothing we can do about that. But I find in my own life that if I'm not careful, I begin to treat Sundays like a speed bump. I slow down just enough to not do damage to my carriage so that I can speed back up again for the rest of the week. And the reality of it is we are called to plan our week and our weekend around so that we can come to worship God on Sunday, build ourselves up so that we can be effective for the rest of the week. And if we do everything else, you know, I see these bumper stickers all the time, and there are days when I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I live for the weekends. Well, if you're living for the weekends, that means you're just doing everything you can do to get through Monday through Friday so that when Friday night comes, I can relax. But the reality of it is we want to plan the first portion of our weekend so that we can truly be effective on our Sabbath day, so that we can truly use that as a smooth takeoff point to be effective for Christ Monday through Friday, through Saturday, and back into Sunday again. And if we're not careful about the way we approach it, we have this tendency to treat Sunday as this, well, I've just given God tithe my 2 hours, now off to fill in the blank. Now this is, I've told my youth upstairs, I'm going to be as blatantly frank with them as I can. And when I'm feeling really dry spiritually, I tell them that. I say, guys, this last week has been the driest week I've had in months. And or, man, I had a great week and here's what happened in my week. I'm not trying to be fake with them. And I would encourage us as believers to not be fake with each other. Tim Taylor was probably the guy who completely rocked my world in that department. We have a tendency in America, we're very much about appearances. And so I come to Tim, I was maybe still a teenager. I might have been in my 20s. And I come to Tim and I said, Tim, how was your week? And I'm just going around and I'm glad handing everybody because that's my gregarious self and I'm all happy and giving people hugs. And Tim said, I had a terrible week. And I'm like, stop the presses. I'm like, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm going to go over here and see somebody else now. It wasn't the typical Sunday school answer, and I didn't know how to respond to it. You know, the way I should have approached that was, oh man, I'm so sorry, what happened? I've told him this a half dozen times, but it's still just as true today. And Tim was real with me right then, and I missed an opportunity to be encouraging to a brother in Christ. At the same token, when I'm not real with my brothers and sisters in Christ in church, I'm missing an opportunity there too to minister to you guys, but also be in turn ministered to. So it's an important ingredient here. Don't be fake about it. When you come to church, if you're having a hard time, the Bible does say when you're fasting, wash your face and put on a smile. Great. Because that's something you are choosing to go through to grow in the Lord. But there are times when we are having struggles, and we need the encouragement of the brothers and sisters in Christ. So don't put on the happy face and go, oh, life is great. Genuinely say, you know, I had a real struggle this week. How can I encourage you if you will not genuinely say, I'm having a struggle this week? I'm having a hard time. At what point does that start? And as brothers and sisters in Christ, that means we are family. We are family implies that we are intimate. To be intimate implies that we are going to share each other's burdens. Okay. In reading through this section of Scripture, you know, I love how Jesus uses the continual analogies. And I've always, you know, I read, John Hagee who was saying that the Old Testament is like a big neon arrow that constantly points to Christ. And I love that analogy because here we are, Jesus talking about being the bread of life. And as we read earlier, I'll just read a section here. He says, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you are miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you were filled. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed a seal of approval. Now, I've always imagined the disciples when they sat with Jesus through the Last Supper, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am, you know, this is my blood. Drink me, eat me. And, you know, I wonder how many of them, when that light went off, and they're like, wow, we've been doing this for years, now I get it. Well, now here we are again. Jesus, this is before the Last Supper, and Jesus is comparing himself to the manna that came down from heaven. And you know, it's a little bit different analogy for us today. It has a little lower level of significance because here, when we go to work, very quickly we're able to take care of our basic needs with a few days' work where we're able to get the money we need for the food we have and the cars we drive. And now we're worried about paying the AC and the entertainment aspects of life. And so we're not always looking at the hand-to-mouth routine. A lot of these people, when they worked, they were working hard so that they could eat that week and prepare to maybe have enough to get them into the next day so that they could eat enough food for the next week. And so what are they looking for? They're looking for this continual sustainment, this continual ability to be sustained. And so Jesus provided food, and they're like, we want more of this. We want to jump into this, and we want to get more involved. And Jesus comes up with this inconvenient truth. He says, well, you're following me because of this, but I'm telling you that this is analogous to me. I am the manna that came down from heaven. And to the guys that got that, they weren't very happy with that analogy because they wanted him to be a little more physical in the way he did things. They didn't want the spiritual analogy. They wanted the reality of having the food continually come down so that they weren't going to have to work. And Jesus says, again, if you look at this, Jesus is nailing him on two fronts. He says, don't put your focus on food that spoils. Put your focus and all your efforts into things that are going to last. And so, guilty of this all the time, I am frequently thinking about the next thing that I can do. I'm working on this project at my house. I'm building this 20 by 20 cover over my barbecue pit so that I can barbecue in comfort. Well, gee, there's not a whole lot of spiritual lasting impact there. So as I'm reading through this and going, okay, you know, and there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing there, but you do have to look at this and you have to go, okay, have my activities this week culminated in some fashion towards bringing glory to God and bringing some permanence and maybe some action that might in some way impact the kingdom of God and bringing someone towards Jesus? Has the day-to-day that I have done, has it been impactful for Christ's kingdom? Okay? So real quick, what does that look like? You know, what does that look like in your daily life? Every one of us has different ways that we impact people. Keith, what is your role? What is your role? What do you do? Okay. So Keith, his impact is I try to do a role that I help others. Keith works at the airport, and he helps. He is one of the people that helps gets those planes launched. Okay. Now, Keith could have gone into details and specifically, and you gave the right answer, by the way. Keith could have gone into this routine about the day-to-day of this is what I do each day. But Keith's mindset is different. Keith's mindset is, I'm planning to launch someone else off so that they can get where they're going. Okay? And what is that? If you were to reflect an attitude, what attitude does that reflect? An attitude of what? Service. Okay? So while Keith is doing his day-to-day of focus of service, Keith is also working side-by-side with other guys, and the attitude that he has will impact those guys around them. And by living his life for Christ, they're going through their frustration, living out the different things that are going on around them, and by God's grace, Keith's attitude will be something that will immediately draw attention. There's something different going on here. Why does Keith work to the level that he works? And you can take that same situation and apply it to each one of us as we have a life-on-life opportunity, that there's something here that is different because of what Christ has done in our life, because what Christ has called us to do. He's called us to a work of permanence. What I do, I work for the company Progressive. No, I have not met Flo. I mentioned that before. And you work at Progressive, and my particular job is absolutely the same thing over and over again every 10 minutes. And I'm by God's grace, at some point I'll be able to work into a more challenging role. But what's interesting is doing the same thing over and over again with a great attitude has already, I've seen an impact on several people's lives, as I've already had several people ask me, and this is not trying to shine this on me, it's just an example, going, how come you can treat everybody the exact same way over and over again? How come we don't hear you getting frustrated between these phone calls as you're talking to people? And it's about the attitude that we take on. And I'm not trying to shine some type of, hey, Tim is doing a great job, let me wear myself out, patting myself on the back. But it's more of an attitude of God has called me to serve each one of these people. And God has called me to serve the people around me. And by God's grace, only by God's grace and me continually renewing my mind and renewing my focus, maybe I'll be able to maintain that attitude, but only by his strength. Then they asked him, what must we do? This is in verse 28. To do the works of God requires. And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give me to see and believe in you? Or what will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread of heaven to eat. Now, we'll stop there for a minute because, boy, these guys are completely missing the big picture here. And they've already seen Jesus heal a blind man and heal a man who had been laying on the ground for 38 years at this point. And we have already been through the part where Jesus has already fed the 5,000. So these guys aren't getting it. And Jesus makes it very, very simple. He says, all you have to do is believe in the one he sent. Okay? So is it enough to have knowledge of someone and believe, yeah, that he existed? You know, the Bible says very clearly that even Satan believed. But, you know, that's not enough to just believe. What then does it mean to believe in the one he sent? To trust? What does trust imply? Trust is to imply obedience. You know, you can honestly say that you may believe that dad is going to catch you and you're not going to sink in the water when you jump into the water. You can say, yeah, I trust you, dad. And I'm just going to stand here. Or you can take that action and jump and let daddy catch you. So it's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to faithfully act out the obedience that God has called us to. Okay, and again, how do we know what God wants us to do? How do we know what acting that out looks like? Okay, well, for one, when you read his word and you seek him, you will begin to know God. And when you begin to know him, you will know the will of the one who sent him. When you know his will, that's when you begin to be able to faithfully apply it. Well, that sounds kind of like a cop-out. Well, you're just reading kind of straight out of what scripture is. So what about me personally? What am I supposed to do? Well, we do know that God has called us to faithfully live out our life for Christ and declare him before man. So, you know, it's always a nervous thing because you guys know I've been through several jobs. And one of my jobs, I was openly fired for my faith. And I want to be very clear on this point. There's a difference between openly fired for your faith and openly getting fired because you're so busy telling someone about Jesus that you don't do your job. Okay, I want to be very clear on that point. If I'm talking about doing your job and because you're a Christian being fired, not doing your job while you're telling someone about Christ. That is just a very bad testimony if you are not doing your job. How are we doing on time, by the way? I apologize. Well, we've run a little bit over. There's a very big difference on those two. God calls us to be the best of servants, which means we are seeking to be the best of employees. But what I'm talking about here is being willing to share God even despite the outcome of what may come of that. Just by simply letting someone know, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And so it was day two of my job, and I was very nervous about this because I really want this job to work. And as it turned out, there's a lot of different classes. This is a huge company. There's 75,000 employees. And in our class, there's only 24 people, but there's around 2,000 employees total in the Austin area. And the number three person in the company comes, and they had to ask this very inconvenient question. And they said, tell me one thing you love. And they wanted to go around the room and tell one thing we love. And they said, write down a list of five and just tell us one thing. And so I was like, oh, and I started writing my list, and I started writing, and I wrote something, and I was like, well, I better scratch that out. So I put Jesus on the top, and I go down the list. And so they had us write those things out, and then they said, now go around the list and tell us one thing you love. What do you love the most? Well, they had to be so darn specific. But I wanted to just go to something simple and say, well, I love my family or I love barbecue, and just do the typical do the typical cop-out. And it was almost like God was sitting there just kind of nudging me and going, okay, well, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity. And so I was very sweating, because this is the number three person in the company, and how are they going to accept this? And I was like, well, I'm going to say I love God. And it was like a nudge. It was like, that's not enough either. You got to say I love Jesus. I was like, okay. And of course, I was the last guy in the room, so I'm stressing a little bit. And we get around, and the first person, we're just shooting them off. It's real quick. They're shotgunning it out. And I said, I love Jesus. And I raised my hand. I didn't lower my head. And they started to go on, and the number three person in the company said, whoa, 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 who said that? He's like, oh. And he goes, I do too. And then we kept going. And it was one of those things where God wants us to be faithful in declaring him at all times before man. When opportunity arises, do not shy away from telling people you love Jesus. And you know what? Suppose that it cost me something. It would have cost me something very temporary. It would have cost me something very minimal. You know, our job is to do the will of the one who sent me, regardless of, as in verse 60, regardless of whether or not it is difficult or convenient. So as we're looking at what God has called us to, and as we're looking at the condition of our church, I want to challenge you at an uncomfortable level to do things that are inconvenient because Christ called us to do that. To live our life in an inconvenient manner so that we can put our focus where it needs to be. To build our week towards church so that we can then live our life towards Christ for the rest of the week. If that means restructuring our social life, then restructure your social life. If that means not staying late on Saturday so you can be to church on time, then do that. If that means getting up earlier on Sunday so that you can get to church on time on Sunday, then do that too. You know, I'm as guilty as the next person on doing these things, but it is Sunday. It should not be used as a speed bump in our lives. And again, like I said, when you preach it, you had better be willing to practice it for lack of hypocrisy. Now, I want to encourage you guys one more time. Make sure that when you are hurting, to tell the rest of the body about it, or tell the elders and deacons as appropriate. If there's something that's lacking, tell us. There's a lot of challenges ahead for us, but we are the body of Christ. We want to encourage one another up. We want to build one another up. We want to love one another. And being a Christian is not always convenient, but it's never been about what is convenient. Okay? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just give thanks for this day. God, I know without a doubt that there are people in this room right now that have things in their life that they are struggling with. And Lord, if we were to do a show of hands, I would put my hand up, I'd put both hands up to know, Lord, that I have different struggles in my life. I struggle, Lord, with so many different things, and you know them intimately as you know the others intimately. Lord, I pray that you will help us each to surrender those parts of our life to you. Whether it's inconvenient or not, so that, Lord, we might seek you better, so that we may know your will better, so that we may honor and obey you. God, I love you and I give thanks for you. And Lord, help me to live my life in such a way that it will glorify you. And help this body, Lord, grow, not by just having other Christians transplant from other churches, Lord, but help this body grow as other believers go from not knowing you to knowing you, Father, that we will have new believers joining us that have never known you before. Not for numbers, God, but for your glory. Not for putting more people in a pew, but for your glory. God, we give great thanks to you now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.